Reduce your volume, please. What's the difference between the new covenant and the old one? And why is it that it looks like the Old Testament saints have set records that New Testament saints cannot best? In the Old Covenant, Joshua was able to alter the course of the galaxy. Because if he said that the sun should stand still, if he said that the moon should stand still, and I happen to be a scientist, if just the sun stood still and just the moon stood still, there'll be collision in the galaxies. So everything, Saturn had to stand still, Uranus, Jupiter. And he accomplished that under the old covenant. He took a day out of February under the old covenant. Moses was able to part the sea and cause Israel to walk on dry ground under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, Elisha, in attempting to raise the dead, now showed us how Jesus in the Garden of Eden gave the breath of life to Adam. He stretched himself upon the dead body of the child. That was what Jehovah Elohim did to Adam, to communicate, to transmit to him the breath of life. All of that was accomplished under the old covenant. If the old covenant was that glorious, what was lacking in it that made God to establish another covenant? And meanwhile, what are the major highlights of this new system that God has put in place, and how can we maximize its potential? If you are still with me, say amen. I sincerely regret not being here yesterday, because it's obvious that we cannot cover so much ground. All right, let me simplify it for you. We will need to understand, first of all, intellectually, the difference between the old and the new covenant before we now find out the deficiencies of the old covenant that occasioned the need for the new, and what exactly is the new covenant. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. So I want to start with a question. How many covenants are there in the Bible? One. Two. Seven. It is impossible for you to achieve maximum capacity utilization with ignorance. Part of the reasons why falsehood has thrived in the body of Christ up until now is because of widespread ignorance. And I do not say this boastfully, I'm just saying that this is an analysis of our ailment. So, in view of the above, therefore, if God intends to bring us into new pedestals of His glory, He will need to raise functionaries that can educate the body of Christ. And that's part of what God's current move is about. We will need some education and some practical exposure to spiritual realities through prayer and through priesthood. It will interest you to know that there are five covenants in the entire Bible. Five. And only one of them is old. But you see, does it sound strange to you? It's strange. Okay. That's why I regret not being here yesterday. But there's not much we can do about yesterday. So let's go to today. Five characteristics of the new covenant. Five realities of the new covenant. Number one, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Turn your Bible with me quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It's a very simple verse of scripture. And I would like us to look at briefly. I pray we have sufficient time to deal with it. But my assignment is to show you five things and how they apply to everyday life. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Is that clear? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. There are three aspects of the ministry of Christ. The first aspect of the ministry of Christ is what we call the incarnation. The incarnation. The incarnation is a mystery. It's a spiritual technology that God adopted in bringing divinity into humanity. That's the incarnation. In the incarnation, God became man so that he can afford man the opportunity to understand what he conceived in himself. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, when he said, "Let us make man." You see, are you with me? I said, are you with me? The design for man was unveiled in the book of Genesis. That man will be a personality that functions in the image of God, that functions in the likeness of God. If you follow that scripture carefully, you will find out that the making of man was an act of God, just like redemption is an act of God. And what I mean by an act of God is that every member of the Godhead was involved in our redemption. Every member of the Godhead was involved in the making of man. And that's why the policy to make man was let us, the entire members of the Godhead, had to come together to participate, to come up with this man. Are you there? If man was not strategic in the agenda of God, there would be no need for God in his Godhead to come together to come up with a decision to make man. Man is critical in the agenda of God. And you need to know the meaning of the creature called man from the eyes of God so that you can maximize what it means to function as a man within the context of the administration of the purposes of God upon the face of the earth. Are you with me? Why, therefore, did God ordain that man should be created in his image? What is the reason for your creation in the image of God? Have you asked yourself that? What What is the reason for your creation in the likeness of God? Because that is design. Are you here? All right, let me make it simple as much as I can. But stay with me. When are we closing? I apologize for not coming early. But it's not my fault. This lecture would have started it very early in the morning. But we'll see what we can do. Why did God create you in His image? Because every other creation of God in the physical creation was created after its kind. Goats were created after their kind. Cats were created after their kind. But when it came to man, man was created in the image of another, in the likeness of another. So man is not original. Man is an illustration of another being. You are not following. You see, listen to me, and listen very well. We can no longer continue in the body of Christ without knowledge. The days where we celebrated ignorance, those days are past and gone. God has a prophetic destiny for the church in this nation, for the church in this land. The reason why God will come to our rescue, politically and otherwise, is because He has a prophetic destiny. And we checked recently and found out that God has refused to change His mind about His covenant with Nigeria. He refused. Recently, this is a recent. All right? So, because of that, we need to wake up. We need to wake up and understand what God demands of us, what God wants to achieve with our lives. What is the reason for which God created you in His image? Image is equal to what? Likeness. You were created in God's likeness because God wanted you to function in representative capacity. Representative capacity. We cannot define man outside of his role and his function in the kingdom of God. Man is supposed to be a representative of God within the framework of this visible ecosystem. Man is supposed to be... Are you there? Are you there? Okay, so he was created in the likeness of God so that he can function in representative capacity. He was created in the image of God so that he can be a carrier of God's authority. What will make man effective and the object of the dominion mandate that he was given in the book of Genesis chapter 1 is that he will function with delegated authority. You must understand that when we talk about authority, authority cannot be understood from the natural realm. And that's why someone can rig an election and still retain power. All right? So all of that doesn't illustrate the true context of authority. The true context of authority is manifested in the realm of the spirit. And I don't have time. If I had come earlier, would have gone through scriptures for you to see that there are 7 things that are critical. If you have any spiritual bearing at all, there are 7 things that you cannot violate. One of them is authority. You will notice that Jesus came doing miracles, and the Pharisees and the scribes that were educated in the things of God came to ask him, by whose authority do you do this thing? You see, they were not criticizing the miracles. The miracles were authentic. The miracles were valid. But the fact that you could produce valid miracles doesn't make you come from God. There is something stronger than miracles. And that's called authority. Where did you get the license to practice? Have you ever seen a doctor that comes that doesn't have... Who is a medical doctor? Is there any medical doctor here? Oh, so we have one medical doctor. Do you know what it will look like when we accost you on the street and say, where's your license? And you don't have any license and you are practicing. It's a crime. Meanwhile, you may have been in school for 100 level, 200 level, 300 level, 400 level, 500 level, 600 level, and then you just traveled to Europe, missed the final exams. You know the thing. You are the best. And even in practice, you could do some surgeries, appendicitis, CS, and there were successful surgeries. The fact that he's able to perform, because I heard of a nurse, he's an anesthetic nurse, and he has observed so many surgical procedures for 22 years. So he does surgeries in his house. They don't die. He is accurate. But you know what? He doesn't have what? A life. So, they were not saying, in fact, they were thanking him for the miracles, but they were still asking for his license. By whose authority? That was a question we refused to ask when some people came and began to do miracles and could not tell the story of their salvation experience. You are not following me. You know, I'm still testing you to know what I will tell you. I'm testing you to know what I will tell you. Christianity has been on attack for the past 17 years. What we have now, if something drastic doesn't happen to us now, we are likely to be overrun by the sons of the bondwoman. Have you seen how the political space has been covered completely? And the sacrilege that have been committed in those corridors to undermine what we can do, who we are, what our opinion is. It's a bold statement to make you understand that in spite of your supposed number, your education, your cumulative geographical strength, there is an agenda that is at work. It means that everything we've gathered for so long has failed to contend effectively with the current beast on ground and to conquer it. That's why we need to go back to find out if we are missing it somewhere. Are we missing something? Because you will find so many people say, oh, how many people are philanthropic as this man? Meanwhile, at the expense of the core fabric of our reality. That's why my heart breaks that I was shortchanged by the airlines. Let's do what we can. See, this man is supposed to be a creature that functions with delegated authority. God is the ultimate and the original authority. Are you there? In fact, the thrones of kings, the thrones of monarchs, are supposed to be thrones that illustrate platforms that God has allowed to step his authority down on other levels. But you see, if you have never met the majesty of God, you don't know what authority is. The illustrations of what we see in our ecosystem in terms of authority is a departure from what it really means from the original quarters. And you and me were created to be carriers of the authority of God. That is the basis of the dominion mandate. Like I told you, the creation of man is an act of God. And all the members of the Godhead were involved in that enterprise. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, we see the Father carrying out his own part of the project. The project is, let us make man, not create man. Make. Are you there? So, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, we see that creation was part of the making of man. And it was the Father that did the creation. The word create in the Hebrew is bara, which means to bring into existence out of no raw material. Then in the book of Genesis chapter 2, from verse 5 to 7, another member of the Godhead stands outside of the quadrant of the Godhead to perform another feat that was connected to the making of man. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb before it had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became the living soul. Stay there. Now, you see, we see another member of the Godhead, the Lord God. That is Jehovah Elohim. In Genesis chapter 1, we see in the beginning, God created. That is Elohim. That is the Godhead. In Hebrew, anytime you see I am, Im, it is plural. Because cherub, singular, cherubim, is plural. Anak, singular, anakim, plural. Eloah is singular, Elohim, plural. So, are you there now? A member of the Godhead stood out of the quadrant of the Godhead to do modeling. Modeling. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's another member of the Godhead doing the modeling. Another member of the Godhead did the creation. Are you there? Breathed into him the breath of life. That which was created was communicated into him by breath. And it was confined within the vessel that was modeled. When that took place, the second level of the making of man was accomplished. But at this time, are you there? Are you there with me? At this time, man was not in the image of God. Man was in the image of man. And so he was going to function as a living soul. The project was not yet complete. It was man in the image of man. He was going to function from the consciousness that came, that was drawn from his soul. His soul. If you see the way Eve analyzed the fruit that came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before she decided to choose it, you will see that all of the analysis came from the soul. She saw that it was good for food, lust of the flesh. She saw that it was a fruit that should be considered to make one wise. Pride of life. It was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. And a fruit to be considered to make one wise. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All of that came from the analysis of the soul. Because that was where her consciousness was. Are you still with me? The proof of life is consciousness. If we see the way you do your things, if you want to accomplish something and it's a product of strategy, it's a product of cerebral manipulation, it's a product of cerebral analysis, and that's how you arrive at what you do, that's how you arrive at how you do what you do, that's how you arrive at the wisdom that powers your life. If that is the case, then it means that even though you are born again, you have not yet understood what it means to be brought into a new ecosystem because the Spirit of God is alive in your spirit. You are still living from the resources of the man of man. You are still man in the image of man. Man in the image of man is a cerebral entity that lives from the power of his soul. And it must be understood. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. It must be understood. That the dominion mandate that we received in the book of Genesis chapter 1 is Adamic. The Adam that received that mandate was not an Adam that was recreated or regenerated. It was an Adam that had not yet partaken of the life of God. So there is a level of dominion you can exercise from the soul level. Are you with me? You can go to university, come out with first class, you do your master's, come out with another first class, become a civil engineer, and you can build a skyscraper. A skyscraper that is full of inventions and innovations. That level of dominion that you are operating with is Adamic. It's from the soul level. It's coming from the consciousness that you have gotten by feeding the soil of your soul with knowledge. Such knowledge that is academic knowledge, mental knowledge. There is a dimension of dominion you can wield at that level. But that's not the reason why God created you in His image. You have not yet touched the reason why you were created in the image of God. And that's the reason why we need to talk about incarnation. In incarnation, what God did is that He put on display the example of a personality He calls man. And that's what happened when Jesus went for John the Baptist's baptismal service. And He came out of the water. So God from heaven came to accredit Him. This is the idea I had in mind when I conceived a policy to make what? You're not with me. No. You see, the thing without your clap is that you don't know who you are clapping. We are confused. We don't know who the clap was meant. So it is possible. It is possible that even though you are born again, you are still operating from that soul realm. You are making some headway. It looks as if, but unfortunately for you, you cannot fulfill destiny at that level of civilization. You can do great things, you can buy cars, you can marry a wife, you can travel the world, you can acquire education, you can even be a governor of your state, operating from the soul level. A man became what? A living soul. That's man of man. And what is... Are you there? What a fall did to a man of man is that it complicated man. It put the soul through a process of mutation such that the consciousness that man has is only self-centered and self-seeking. And that's why somebody comes to power politically and then for 8 years nothing is done for the people. Everybody is complaining. But you see, you will expect too much from unregenerated people. If the person is not regenerated, the consciousness he has is a self-centered consciousness. He's just operating the way he's wired to operate. Until the body of Christ will wise enough and know that one of us need to be there. That's when if that person fails, then we have a reason to blame him because he's wired differently. If he operates like Adam thereafter, it means that he's falling. Are you still there? All right, so the Father did His part. The Son did His part. Jehovah Elohim, Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. Unfortunately for us, the Spirit of God did not do His part before the project was hijacked. And the entire project was powered by Satan from that point. So Satan was able to employ Adam to be part of his workforce in the administration of his kingdom. Are you still here? Then God now comes And says, all right. He manifests himself in the grace of divine election. He says, okay, these are people. These people speak Yoruba language. These people speak Igbo language. These people speak Hausa. These people speak Tiv language. These people speak Idoma. But I choose the people of Israel. And part of the reason why God chose the people of Israel is because they are the most rebellious set of human beings on earth. And I can prove it. I can, but no time. So that if the nations of the world can see what God made out of Israel, it means God can do more with the Yoruba race. God can do more with the Igbo race. Because the people he chose are the worst. He decided to identify with them and to superimpose his covenant on them. But the problem with the old covenant is that it revealed the mind of God, the vision of God, the purpose of God, the laws of God, but it did not address the issue of the new status of man within the context and the framework of the fall. So man saw what God wanted, he understood what God wanted, and instead of, are you there? He did not have the ability to fulfill what God intended, what God wanted. And that which God ordained for good purposes became an object of judgment, an object of that revealed his inadequacy and insufficiency. Because the righteousness that the law spoke about, humankind did not have what it takes to live up to the expectation of that righteousness. And I can show you 12 anticlines in the Old Testament for which you will know that the fullness of that which God was preaching, that which God was prophesying in the Old Covenant, could not be fulfilled outside of an emancipator. So everything, all the anticlines, you know, and there are 12 of them, were pointers to the fact that the Old Covenant lacked the ability to galvanize fallen man and to give him the ability to live up to the expectations of God. So the emphasis of the Old Covenant are the laws of God. So what happens is this. I know you've heard the word Torah before. Torah. What's the meaning of Torah? Yeah, we call it, if you say law, it's not wrong. But stay with me. How many of you have read the Constitution of Nigeria? Have you? Do we have any Lego? That's the ground norm of Nigeria. No one here? Okay. You will find things that they quote in the court of law. Section 1, subsection 2, as amended. Those kind of stuff. That's what you find. But it will surprise you to know that the Torah is not like our constitution. Even though you call it law. You are not following me. You call it law, but it's not rendered as a group of laws. It is actually rendered as a story. So God will say, do this. Are you there? And the Torah spans through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So God will say, do this. And then when we fail, he will now create more laws to cover the gray areas of the previous laws. Are you there? Then you will now discover an aspect that was not captured in the law. That's the reason for amendments. So that our rights can be reversed. We can revise the laws of the land and know our rights more perfectly, more adequately. So there are amendments, more laws, yeah, much more laws, in keeping with our failures, our insufficiencies, our disobediences, until it eventually became 600 and 13 loaves. And if you have ever ate a pomegranate fruit, how many of you have ate it? Have you seen one? You have not. You don't have shop rights in a Jabode. Okay, there's a fruit that you find in the Middle East. It's called pomegranate fruit. It is, if you see the garment of the high priest, it has, at the edge here, it has one pomegranate, one bell, one pomegranate, one, that's at the edge. So that as it's moving, you will hear the sound of God. And that is the blend between the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit. It produces the sound of God. So the pomegranate fruit is a typical representative fruit that captures the agricultural shape of things in the Middle East. And any pomegranate fruit that is ripened enough that you split into two has 613 seeds, equivalent to the 613 laws that God gave. And I've studied further to know that if you drink pomegranate drink every morning, you will never go to the hospital. It will take you away from the hospital. It means that if we can abide by the laws of God, we will not have business with the things that worry people. But unfortunately, the man of the old covenant knew the laws of God, but he had lacked the ability to live up to the laws of God. So there was need for a new covenant. The new covenant, as I need to explain to us, the moment it was instituted, and the institution of the new covenant was on the basis of the blood of Jesus, fulfilling a judicial deficiency. So Jesus came to fulfill the claims of divine justice. So there was a judicial deficiency that was addressed in the death of Jesus, fulfilling the legal side of our redemption. And I'm quoting from Romans chapter 5, verse 10. The moment the legal side of our redemption was fulfilled, then the organic side of our redemption now came into focus. My lecture this evening is to bring us education on this organic side of our redemption. Now, I saw scripture here. Give me that scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. If you have your Bible, you can turn it. And if it's true. But while we wait for you, the Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So our quarrel with God was stated by the death of Jesus Christ. Reconciliation was achieved. There was no love. We didn't have any quarrel anymore. Now that our quarrel has been resolved, the Bible says, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So there are two parts of the experiential side of delivering us from every trace of the fall whatsoever. So that organic side of redemption kicked in the day the Holy Spirit came to take residence in us. The meaning, lecturing John. It means he has capacity in the area of exploring knowledge. He's at home with research, at home with discoveries and exploration. So they bring you into the ivory tower. But when somebody scored A with God, guess what happened? They sent him to the wilderness to be tempted. Yeah, no. So some of you might say, that's harsh treatment. You just give him accreditation right now. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh my God. Then the next verse is going to the wilderness. Now let me give you an idea of what is going on here. Because if you follow the first temptation that Satan brought, it was anchored upon the declaration of the Father about him. The Father was the one that said, "This is my beloved Son." And when Satan showed up, Satan said, "If you are the Son of God," that we've been hearing this title in the market. We'll be hearing it around in town, in Ijabode, that you are the Son of God. If we are, meanwhile, where I come from, we don't acknowledge that title. So, if you are the Son of God, do something about it. Prove it. Are you there? Stay with me. What was the temptation about? Jesus had the body of a human being. And Satan is going to tempt Jesus like a human being, with all the temptations that normally attract the attention of humans. But Satan is not aware of the fact that his driving force is not humanity. He's not man of man. He's man functioning with the resources of God. I'm still trying to unveil the new covenant. Are you there? So for the first time, Satan came into conflict, into deceptive conflict with a human being, and he lost. That was the first time. And Jesus did not overcome Satan because he attended Harvard. Jesus overcame Satan because he was drawing from the resources of the spiritual capital that he received at John the Baptist's baptismal service, because that was where he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Are you there? So Jesus is an idea of what man should be. Do you realize that when Jesus had a financial problem, they called him and said he should come and pay temple tax. Meanwhile, according to law, Israelites are not supposed to be partakers of temple tax, only proselytes. And Jesus could have decided to claim his rights. Hey, have you checked my genealogy? But what Jesus said, Jesus is a meek person. A meek person is someone that will not easily fight for his rights. Easily. You know why he's like that? You know why people are meek? Because there is nothing you do that can stop his destiny. So even if you insult him, you are a terrible man on Facebook. He doesn't see any need to defend himself. Are you on? Because he has found and secured security in God, he doesn't need to come out to defend himself. He can afford for people to see him in a bad light. As long as God does not see him in a bad light, he's good. Are you there? So, Jesus said, so that we will not offend. Then he still operated by the resources of the Holy Ghost. Word of wisdom came to him. I said, Peter, I remember you used to be a fisherman those days. Do you still have any fishing and equipment? We didn't know that Peter kept his hook. Just in case ministry fails, he would just go back and continue this thing. He said, that's your hook you kept. Revive it. Go to the water side. When you put the hook in, you draw a fish. A coin is in his mouth. You see, the mystery about that instruction is that a fish that had a coin in his mouth, the mouth is already full. So it will not be interested in your bait. Think about it. The mouth is full now. A coin is there. One of the fishermen that labored in the night, he made a mistake. Coin. Fish now. Saw it shining.
He said, you will draw that fish. So I'm wondering how that hook, was it the stomach? But he brought it out. Found coin in his mouth. Went and paid for himself and paid for Jesus. So Jesus didn't need to fight because he knew what to do by the Spirit of God to answer that problem. In the eyes of God, and what the new covenant affords us, is that all of your problems that you will ever have in life, the Holy Ghost has the potential to solve it. See, you are not following. The Bible says that it is the Spirit of God that helpeth our infirmities. We have diverse kinds of weaknesses, diverse kinds of insufficiencies, but what God did is that the solution to our travail is captured in the investment He makes available to us, even the spiritual capital, which is the person of the Holy Ghost. So in the original chapter, when God says, let us make man, the man that God considers to be man is man plus Holy Ghost. Jesus never started ministry until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it is expected thereafter that after you have received the Holy Ghost, you will live by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will... Oh my! Are you there? Yes. It is through the Holy Ghost that the idea of who to marry will come from. Listen to me. If you marry the wrong person, as long as you are doing banking job, working in Union Bank, your home will be peaceful. You'll be having small problems because you are working, you bring money home. The day you decide to answer your call, it will work until the day you want to answer your call. That's when that marriage will come under attack. The devil doesn't consider you a threat in Union Bank. In fact, he will ensure you are promoted so that you will not fulfill your calling. So the day you want to fulfill the reason for which God brought you into this world, you have discerned it by the Spirit, then everything in your life that your choices that did not come out of the Holy Ghost will become a snare on your destiny. Because a man in the new covenant is supposed to live from the investment of the Spirit of God. I told you, there are seven things we must understand deeply about this new context. All I did is just a recap. Want to go into the seven matters now. Anything whatsoever that you begin to do that was not inspired of the Holy Ghost, the day you become serious with God, are you there? And you are doing night visions, pressing. You want to know the mind of God. Want that thing you built. Maybe there's a business you are doing, you are smuggling, and you know the thing is prospering. You are buying vehicles, buying land. That thing that you are doing that is not inspired by the Holy Ghost will be the first thing God will demand that you put aside in order for you to walk with Him. Are you there? The Bible calls life that is powered by the Spirit, it calls it newness of life. Trust me, you don't know that life. There are few things in the Bible that God calls new. Especially in the New Testament. Very few things that God calls new. The first new you will find is in the book of Mark chapter 16. When the Bible begins to explain the signs that follow them that believe. It says, in my name you cast out devils. In my name you will speak with new tongue. New tongue. The Greek word for new is kainos. In Greek, it doesn't mean new, it means fresh. I think I need to explain.
Do you have palm trees here? Palm tree. It means there's palm wine here. Serious palm wine. In my village, there are also palm trees and there's palm wine. So what I'm telling you, I don't know it experientially. But I heard that if you drink the new palm wine, the fresh one, the one they just tapped, that is not adulterated, that is very sweet, and it can intoxicate easily. I don't know this experientially, but it is a knowledge. I contacted this knowledge. Yeah, not for you. This new tongue we are talking about, it can easily intoxicate. It is coming from the tap root. And the new tongue we are talking about is not the old tongue. The tongues you spoke. Because, you know, speaking in tongues is the only gift that we can operate. It's a gift that is given to us of the Spirit. And we can operate it at will, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So when you begin to speak the tongues that you speak, because you are speaking at will. Are you there? That's not the fresh tongue. You enter into the era of the fresh tongue when it is the Holy Spirit giving you the utterance. It's just like the word dunamis, which is the word for Acts chapter 1 verse 8, is from dunamis that we have the word dynamo in English. How many of you know tiger generator? Tiger. It has a mechanical strap on the dynamo so that you can apply mechanical energy, external energy. When you get the dynamo to oscillate at a certain frequency, it has the capacity to continue subsequent frequencies, subsequent oscillations. You see, the tongue you started speaking because you wanted to speak in tongue is the effort, external effort that is brought on the dynamo. The dynamo has the capacity to sustain itself if it arrives at maximum oscillation. Are you there? So this fresh tongue begins to issue forth the moment you hit maximum oscillation. So there's no problem. You can start mechanically. But the way you will know that the system has taken over is when you begin to experience fresh tongue. And the distance in time is dependent on how dead your spirit is. If your spirit is alive, in 30 minutes you can get to that level. If your spirit is far away from fire, then we need to change oil. It might take 2 hours, 35 minutes, then fresh tongue. See, the Bible is very careful in mentioning the word new. Very careful. The reason is because God is not so much of a pioneer. He's not so much of a pioneer. What God does is that He establishes covenants and He begins to bring administrations out of the covenants that He has established. So even though the hand of God is upon you today, you are not the first person that has experienced the hand of God. There is a deception for you to think that there's one anointing on you that is new. No, it's not true. If you check even the Bible, you will find some authors or some books that are speaking your language. You will discover that the anointing you carry. The reason why, like for me, Apostle Paul's books is as if I have an entrance into those corridors. And I know that I have a relationship with the anointing with which he got the inspiration with which he wrote those books. Are you there? If you are not lazy, you will find who you are like in terms of grace among the writers that God employed to write the Bible. That's what I'm saying. You will find yourself in the book. That is to show you that the anointing you have is not new. You are continuing an administration that other people have worked in. So don't get confused and think there's something. No. God doesn't pioneer easily. He pioneers only few times and then he establishes administrations.
So the word, anytime you see the word new in the Bible, it's a big deal. They shall speak in new tongue. Then the Bible goes into the book of Romans chapter 6. Then it tells us of the newness of life. A different shape of possibility of life that is drawn from the fact that even though we are manifested in the flesh, but our driving force is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one responsible for our choices. And if you have not started living that way, you prefer living the example that is captured in Adam than the example that is captured in Christ. And that is nobody's fault. In fact, the argument in the book of Romans chapter 5 is that as in Adam, so in Christ. If you, are you there? What the flesh is to Satan is what the spirit is to God. Anytime you yield to the flesh, you begin to produce Adam. Anytime you yield to the spirit, you begin to produce Christ. And it must be understood that your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. In the case of David, the story God told is the relationship between warfare and worship. What is the story God is telling through your life? You need to walk consistently in the spirit in order for you yourself to be able to discern the story that God is telling. But because the average Christian is used to the flesh, your story is not obvious. What determines your style is window shopping. You see how they do it in Lagos, see how they do it in Dubai, see how they do it in London. Then you come up with a strategy. You are not original because you don't know the Holy Ghost. So you don't know your driving force. So you will not choose the wilderness. When the Lord says, go to the wilderness, you go somewhere else. The story that God wants to bring out of your life never gets to manifest. The first thing about the new covenant. Now you have an idea of what I'm talking about. Let us go to the lecture for the day. And so that you will not be afraid and think that I will take all the time, I will close my jotter and close my Bible and then ask the media people to give me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I am sorry for not coming yesterday, but it's not my fault. It's not as if I was forming big man. I've never seen a place where all the flights are in the evening. I finished preaching on Thursday to come here on Friday. Then I was shocked with the realization that we would travel in the night. That was why I couldn't come. Because if I had hit here by 2 o'clock, Lagos, I'll be here 1 hour 30 minutes. But I couldn't make it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Then we'll start this journey. I'll just introduce it just a little. And then I will pray for the sick. Now, can you give this guy some volume here? Is it possible? I want to hear what he's doing here. There is a new breed that God is unleashing in Nigeria. A new breed. A radical opposition against unrighteousness that is unleashed. God is beginning to speak clearly so that the people of his house can be equipped with what it takes to do business with the Holy Ghost in deep waters. The days of half measures, falsehood, and ambiguity have come and gone. Now destiny calls us. And I believe that God will choose from among us. Oh, if only you can shut in with the Holy Ghost, even your mother will say, this is not the child I gave birth to. Yes. If you can shut in with the Holy Ghost, you will just discover how different you are from your generation. If you can shut in with the Holy Ghost, you will know that in the Holy Ghost, He determined that you will be unique. You don't need to know. You are already unique by yourself. And the more security you find in Him, the more willing you will be to accept the uniqueness that you found in the Holy Ghost. Because in the Holy Ghost, we are not the same. Are you there? We are not the same in the Holy Ghost. When I began to swim in the Holy Ghost, I now found out that what the Holy Ghost is doing in me, one of the things He's doing is that He's teaching. He's building capacity. Nobody taught me how to teach. When I began to know the Holy Ghost, the ability to teach came out of my knowledge of the Holy Ghost. Your true self is locked up in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, no man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him. So your things will come out of your spirit. It is written on your spirit like the genome of your chromosomes. The genome of your chromosomes is what determines your complexion. What determines when you start having white hair. It's already encrypted with the writings of God. When you find the Holy Ghost, you will see your uniqueness. You will not need to do anything to be different from anybody. You will just know that you are different. When I found myself in the Holy Ghost, I realized that the Holy Ghost in me does not only teach. The Holy Ghost in me wages war. Now, you see, hallelujah. Like the way I see pastor as a gentleman, see his wife, so gentle and all of that. I'm not like that. As much as I respect her, I respect him, the Holy Ghost in me wars. He's a warrior. Maybe before this conference ends, maybe you will understand it. He wars. He fights spiritually. You will need to find yourself. So I'm not trying to fit into the good books of men. I live out the story He's telling through my vessel. Because your life in the Spirit is the story that God is telling from Him. In this day of social media, people want to make comments about everybody. That, hey, you know what? So because of the comments I'm making about you, you are trying to establish decorum. It's a betrayal of who you are in the Holy Ghost. If what they are commenting about, maybe positively or negatively, is influencing your performance, your alignment, it means you are already falling. Oh my God. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord. This is the second aspect of the ministry of Christ. The first aspect is the incarnation. Through the incarnation, we see the example of what God had in mind before when He conceived, let us make man. The second aspect of the ministry of Christ began on the cross. That's called the inclusion. As many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. You became one with Christ by an act of God's authority. When He included you with Christ on the cross, the only valid history that you have now is that you are backdated to the cross. So that when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus was buried, you were buried. When Jesus rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. The history of Jesus becomes your experience. When Jesus ascended into heaven, you ascended with Him. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, that's where you are seated now. Because of inclusion. Are you there? This scripture I asked us to read is a scripture that reveals inclusion. In the theology of inclusion, you become one with God.
That's not a blessing that someone under the old covenant can claim to have ever had. But in this new covenant, we are one with God. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is what? Now, are you there? The way your spirit is calibrated, for instance, it is calibrated to be able to engage the spirit world. The way your flesh, your body is calibrated, is that it is calibrated and it is educated to be able to interface in the natural world. Man is the only creature in the entire enterprise of creation that can legitimately operate in the spirit world and in the natural world at the same time. Even God does not have that complement. For the Bible says God is spirit. So God's operations are limited to the spirit realm. If God is going to come into this realm, he will do that through the agency of man, because man can operate in God's realm and operate in this physical realm. If Satan wants to come into this realm, because Satan is spirit, he will need to do it through the agency of man. If in your family there is darkness, raging, don't look for spirits. First of all, look for man. There is a human being that has opened the gate to the devil, because Satan is spirit. You are not following me. Satan is what? He needs a human being to come into your family. All the plunder you have experienced in your family, there is a human being that is devoted to Satan, that has allowed Satan to walk through his spirit, through his soul, through the wisdom that Satan gives him to bring people in that family into bondage. That's the way God wants to walk through you. From your spirit, through your soul. And maybe tomorrow, I will now give you the implication of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. That's where we have what is called spiritual shepherding. Spiritual shepherding. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Five things that derives from this one point. Then I will end on that. See, we'll come again. Hallelujah. There's an inclusion that takes place. I'm one with him in the spirit. So you might think that you are engaging a man, but I have the resources of God at my disposal. So in terms of performance, I can perform like God. The only thing that I bring to the table is called alignment. So sometimes I will need to fast for 200 days to achieve alignment, to know where God is, to understand the present revelation position of the Spirit. That's the only thing I bring to the table. I'm not creating any new thing. I'm not manufacturing something. I'm just trying to align with the resources that are available. This alignment might lead you into the wilderness. May you not be in the city center when the Holy Ghost is driving you into the wilderness. Because God is spirit, you can miss him the moment your spirit is not in tune with him. It is only your spirit that is wired to be able and calibrated enough to be able to explore him. So we are supposed to explore him as astronauts explore space. How much of him have you explored? That's how strong you are to prosecute destiny. Your destiny did not come from government house. It came from heaven. You will need heaven to prosecute your destiny on earth. All the demons of hell will fight you because of that destiny. If you don't understand the context of your spiritual warfare, then you are not wise enough for life.
Give me volume on that instrument.
Oh my God.
We explore God. Have you taken time to explore Him?
Have you ever said, okay, I'm going on a fast from January, and I don't know when I will stop. When I will stop is when He shows up. You will think that you are wasting your time. Okay, go now. It's after 10 years you will find out that your head start in the flesh was actually delayed. It was a covenant with delay that you caught. The way of speed is to wait. The challenge and what we bring to the table is alignment. Sometimes in order for you to find the rhythm, you must keep quiet for 7 days and walk around the wall. Just so that you can find the alignment. As long as you are not aligned, you are naked. Man is nothing without God. So in my family, nobody will tell you, nobody will give you any law. But there are many unwritten laws. The first is, don't marry from another tribe. Nobody would say it's wrong. But the moment, if you are going to do it, you will do it alone. So there are already roadblocks that are determined to ensure that you cannot follow the liberty of your spirit. But nobody will enforce it. But the day you say you want to step out, then you'll find out that you are the only eagle under the sun. You will never be alone if you are walking with the crowd, if you want to fulfill destiny. Even your own will trust you up. So if you are not at home with the Holy Ghost as your friend, because Adam was alone, Adam was not lonely. You are going to be alone, but you must learn how not to be lonely. That was where I learned how to pray, because I knew that my help was not in the hills anymore. I didn't need to look to the hills. My help was within me, and the only way I can find the help is alignment. So I will tarry, I will wait. You know, He's a king. If we are dealing with Ogubu, it's a servant spirit. You can send it on errand through an enchantment. Can speak from enchantment and say, go! It will go. This one is a king. Your tears cannot move him. Even your prayer cannot move him. He will move when he wants to move. So you must learn the protocol of waiting. Wait. If you don't know waiting, it means you still believe you are in charge. And he will teach you. He will clear your doubts in 10 years' time. It is when you are faced with a problem that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit that you will know that your PhD degree that you got from the University of Lagos counts for nothing. And I don't say this to insult your effort. I'm just saying you are still helpless with the best of education. And for your information, I have a little education myself. Oh! You want to get a promotion in the office? I'm talking about where I came from. You will need power. You will need power. It's not, don't make noise. People make noise. You will need power. Because the people that are contesting with you for the same opportunity, they have power from darkness. Satan has blessed them. Except you are going for something that is not significant. If not, you will meet Satan on the way. You will meet his people. In the eyes of Jesus, in order for you to prosecute natural life, he claims that we need power. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. Because as you travel on that path, you will meet men that have power. Yeah. So I began to learn alignment. How to wait on the king. How to wait on him. Fasted. Began in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. August 1, August 2, August 3, August 4, August 5, August 6, August 7, August 8. He now speaks to me and says, I see that you are praying. I say, what do you mean by that you see that I'm praying? You see, I was not disciple, I was not taught. The moment you begin to pray, you begin to make effort, eh? And you are doing something like fasting and praying. He will set a time that he will visit you if you will continue. It can be 9 months, 3 days. Nothing will change it. I hope you know he has a calendar. His calendar of visiting every man. There is a schedule of visiting every man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? He has a schedule. Nothing. Your prayer cannot change the schedule. If you get tired and you don't arrive at the schedule, you will walk in darkness for another cycle. We pay the price of alignment. And I was not told. I was not told that if Jesus wants to encounter you, if Jesus wants to visit you, the first thing he will do is that he will dispatch angels to come. I was not told. So there are 4 angels that began to come to my room when I entered into September. You know what? I stopped the fast. I continued with the angels for 5 years. I began to do miracles because I understand their ministry. I know how they communicate. I know what, when they come into the place, when they want to do something, I know. I worked with them for 5 years. But when I started the fast, it was not angels that I was seeking. I was seeking God. It was after 5 years they occurred to me. What's wrong with you? Was this what you were seeking? Then I started fasting again after 5 years. Just like I started speaking now. Those angels have come. 2 of them are here. I want them to be 4. Wait. I want them to be 4 before I will start. I move with them. I saw miracles. Saw signs. Saw wonders. Then it occurred to me that this was not what I was looking for. As you are seeking God, many things will begin to appear. Prosperity will appear. Then if that's what your soul wants, you will veer off. And you will never be brought before His Majesty. The people that told you that the goal of the gospel is prosperity, they spoke through the voice of Babylon. Prosperity is a byproduct of alignment. It's one of the proofs of alignment. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he layeth his hands upon to do, it shall prosper. It's alignment. It's a proof that you are in alignment. It's not a goal. It's a byproduct. It's a sign. Ah.
Teach us alignment. Teach us alignment. And show us how you make a little one a thousand and a small one a strong nation. Yes, I am. He commanded. He commanded. Though thy beginning be small, he said thy later end shall greatly increase, not by the power of man, but by the power of the Holy Ghost of the living God. It's our time to find him, to gain alignment, so that the little one will become a thousand. Your capacity must be fulfilled. Your ordination must find expression. You will need to mount up with wings. Mount up into the heavens. When you find your power with God, you prevail. Yeah. Yeah. Kima melise zako mama batala. Preskufela iko beminende hele. Sofalande elekeria, kovisa sonde hele bakuria, meziko me babreskete, me robe naike, me stande boboria, ama katesi, ama santalia, ama mekabonde ke, asigo branda baboria, amande kuria salabale. Jesus, you were designed to work with the capacities of God. And your daily confession was ordained to be, it is not by power, it is not by might, it is by the Spirit of God. For this is not the work of man, this is the work of the Holy Ghost of the living God. I will not be naked. I will not be naked. For my life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. I will not be naked. I will not be naked. Color mercy. Pokori mala. Escomba mi asele kiso man. Baranomi seba. Baranomi makayandele. Baranomi aseko paminala. Yasobele kedobosi. A little one shall become a thousand. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, media people, give me Acts chapter 9, verse 17 on the screen. Acts chapter 9, verse 17 on the screen. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. Stay with me. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus Christ, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and receive what? That's number one. Are you there? I want to read another scripture to you. Number two. Then I will explain both of the scriptures together. That's the first scripture. He said, you need to receive your sight, and then you need to receive the Holy Ghost. Why? Then,
Saul now tells the story again, because this story he's telling in Acts chapter 9, he tells the same story in Acts chapter 22, he tells the same story in Acts chapter 26, and gives little more details in each case. Are you with me? All right. Let me give you another scripture. In verse 22, chapter 22. He's telling the same story again. The first time he received the Holy Ghost. Second time the story was told, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus sent me." Then he didn't talk about his sight problems the second time. He said, "He sent me that you might know his will. He sent me that you might see the righteous one. He sent me that you might hear words from his mouth." Not words from a messenger, but words from his mouth. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that in him our lives consist. For we were created by him and for him, and in him our life consists. It means that the essence of your life is in him. You will need you. You see, such a person that has your essence doesn't need to chase you. If you are wise, you will chase him. The same thing that Ananias told Saul, you need to hear words from his mouth. You need to know his will. You need to see the righteous one. Every believer must have that experience. If you want to fulfill destiny, at some point you will need to stand before Jesus for him to speak words from his own mouth, not from an angel. There are many things your pastor can tell you, and there are many things that only Jesus can tell you. When Ananias was discipling Saul, he made him know that, yes, I am sent by Jesus. But the fact that I came from Jesus, I came by Jesus, will not insulate you from seeing the righteous one. From knowing his will, and from hearing words from his mouth. After 5 years of working with angels and understanding the miraculous, how the angelic fast track and facilitates the miraculous, I began another prayer. This time, I wanted to know his will. I wanted to know why he gave me power. Because it's possible for you to have power and not know why. And you are squandering it for what you don't know anything about. I wanted to know his will. I wanted to see the righteous one. I wanted to hear words from his mouth. That was when I forgot how many days that I fasted. And I was in my hotel room in Dubai. Rehab Hotel in Sabka district in Deira. And Jesus came to my room. And he told me, he said, the youth, use the power of insight I've given you to deliver them from destruction, and I will open the gates of nations to you. That is Jesus that told me that, not an angel. In my work with God, I've had angelic encounters where they read scrolls to me. This will happen. I've seen that. The meaning of my life from 2009, when I had that encounter, to 2019, when I met Jesus again, the meaning of my life was captured in a 12-second encounter. When Jesus came into my hotel room, When I saw the light coming, I knew that if I stay and behold the light, I'll be blind. So I laid down, closed my eyes, and covered. And he walked through the wall. He said, use the power of insight I've given you to deliver them from destruction, and I will open the gates of nations to you. That was how I started hopping from campus to campus. I did that for 10 years, 10 to 12 years. Those days, I used to spend $1.3 million a year for tickets. I went around Nigeria 6 times. People even insulted me and called me campus apostle. But it was Jesus that came to me. On the 19th of August 2019, I was in Uyo in a hotel, and he came back to tell me that I was faithful in the last assignment. Are you there? Go and resign, because I want to take you to the nations of the world. At the time he told me to resign, I was already becoming a management staff in the oil industry. And that means too much money. My house rent money would have been $21 million every year, given to me in January. If in the line of duty I spend one night outside my home, they pay me in dollars. People will fight with amulets. They will fight with charms to get that position. I was 2 weeks away from the examination that would have entitled me to that position. And then Jesus comes and he says, it's time for us to go to the nations of the world. You cannot be right if you have not heard from Jesus. You cannot be right. You are at liberty to make out what you think life should be. You will be disappointed. You cannot be right if you have not heard from Jesus. He said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus that appeared to you on the way to Damascus sent that you might know his will. Oh my. How I wish what I'm saying will enter you. Especially if you are in ministry, ask yourself, who sent you? Who? How did you come up with that name? Was it a crisis that suggested to you that what you needed to do was to start a ministry? Or was it your wife? In the whispers, in your ears in the night, she suggested that. The way you talk. You talk like an evangelist. He said, brother Saul, there is so much the Lord sent me to tell you, but that will not insulate you from knowing his will. It will not insulate you from seeing the righteous one and hearing words from his word. In the first account, he says, I'm sent to restore your sight and that you might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? Are you still following me? The second encounter, you are supposed to use Holy Ghost to know his will, to see the righteous one, and then hear words. Then the third one, you will now stand before kings because you have heard from his mouth. No man becomes great except he sees and hears Jesus. Meanwhile, in 2012, I had invitations to go to 12 countries to preach the gospel. Then I went to Jesus and said, are you the one that opened these doors? He said, he is not aware of doors. God saved me that I went to ask him. I would have started one premature international ministry that nobody sent me. That's how men come down with fornication and have children that are white and black. Nobody stands. For 3 years, I have had 12 invitations. The first year, because I was on cable. I had 10 invitations the next year. I had 9 invitations the other year. He said he is not aware. So the other year, the nations I had invitations were poor. So I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him whether he is sending me. So that my doubts will be cleared. He now mentioned one. Say, hey, I'm sending you to the poorest. The poorest one, that's what I'm saying. Where they cannot give you a honorarium. Your choices will be different if it is Jesus you are hearing. The ministries of these days are the ministries of marketing, management, and customer care. It did not come from Jesus. Go and hear Jesus. And deliver yourself from the rat race. Sent me to a nation where, when I saw their poverty, you don't need a dictionary to understand poverty if you see that nation. Any noble man cannot take money from them. We were raising money for their equipment because they were using the kind of equipment that they used to sell rat poison. You know that? You know the equipment they used to market rat poison in the market. That was what they were using for 1,200 people. It was the Holy Ghost that was interpreting to them. If not, I was not hearing what they were saying. So I said, all right, let's buy equipment. I gave $200. My $200 was more than their whole offering. If they convert the offering of 1,500 people to dollars, my $200 was more than all of them. Is that a country you will take money? I promised them more money if I go back home. Which will use the post office to send $500. It took 3 months before it reached. But it reached. The day it reached, they were in debt and they were kneeling on the altar and asking God for deliverance or they'll be arrested. That was when they brought the letter. $500. They fell down. I now realize that if I didn't hear Jesus, I would have been a rogue. I would have collected money from where I'm supposed to give. Can we pray? Finally. Then I'll pray for you. Jesus, I want to hear words from your mouth. I want to hear words from your mouth. I want to hear words. Words from your mouth. Words from the mouth of Jesus. Let the rat race end. There must be precision in the pursuit of destiny. The Lord of the harvest must cry into our spirit. Oh, Elamos Teliekedo Abrescatala. We'll hear words. We'll hear words from your mouth. We'll hear words from your mouth. We'll hear words. The words of the pastor is supposed to encourage you in your pilgrimage to advance to hear the words of God. Just like the words of Ananias encouraged him to seek the words. We'll hear words from Jesus.
Dike manta hobena Gozi ala ye gome Bose na ke hako Shila yamane Dike mukulama Oh,
Jesus.
Ozila mi ayo. Saina kole, yeso so mama te la mai. Ikamayo bela. Mobilae, saina kose za hanema. Ikabosayo. Give me a sheep, I yo.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Just took a look at the time and I see that it's late. So what we'll do, tomorrow morning's meeting will be a miracle service if you need a miracle. We'll do all of that there. But I just want to leave you in this solemn moment to continue this prayer when you get back home. We'll get everything wrong if we don't hear from Jesus. And it's not enough to hear your pastor. God sent Ananias. He brought revelations to him. Brought disclosures, but told him, you will see the righteous one. You will know his will. And you will hear words
from his mouth.
Similarly, if you are loving on Jesus in this solemn assembly, if you are loving on Jesus, why don't you lift your hands and bless God for the gift that He has sent to us in the person of His servant, the Apostle Haromeus Osai. Can we bless God for him, the God of his life, from childhood that he knew Jesus till now? His grace has sustained him, figuring out his way all through his ages by the mercies of God, and becoming a force from nation to nation, and God granting us access in Ijebu land to this grace. Can we bless Jesus? Can we bless Jesus? Can we bless Jesus? Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. Can we bless God? We could never repay, but from us we like to say that we thank. Come on, bless God for the gift of his servant to us. Come on.